Thank you, Kim and Rachel, for leading us in that beautiful number this morning. And our text is going to tell us a little more of how to do that. I invite you to take your scriptures and locate the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, the portion of scripture that we just read this morning. I easily could have gone to the Gospel of Mark. It's pretty identical in what they have to share with us. But we're going to go to Luke this morning as we kind of walk with the Lord Jesus Christ through his life, through his ministry, studying his identity, his activities, and the connection that that brings to our life, the implications that that brings to our life. And so here we are, our text, or if I would title this morning, it would be All in One Day. So we want to think about one day with the Lord, and what that tells us about our day, about our everyday. Question, what is typical on just a typical day? What is routine behavior on an average day? Well, a group of guys got together. They were labeled researchers, and they began to watch people, and they observed that we all, kind of generically, we all tend to laugh 15 times a day. Okay, why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. Okay, you still got 15 laughs left in you. I tried to think of the worst joke I could think of. Most people, they tell us we tend to laugh 15 times a day. We also take 8,000 steps on average. Yeah, right. They tell me, as they watch me, that I have 15 trillion cells die in my body every day. That's why I don't feel like I'm the man I used to be. But those 15 trillion cells are replaced every day. You think about that, that's amazing. That screams for some kind of intelligent designer. Well, we'll leave the research in just a moment. Those researchers gave us one last tidbit of information. They said that the average man and husband and wife kiss each other 3 times a day. And in doing so, in those 3 times, they exchange 300 million bacteria. So you do the math. Kiss 3 times, 30 million bacteria. Might have been worse than the first time. So do the math. Every time I kiss Kim, it's worth it. Well, we've looked at what does a routine day look like for us? Well, what about an average day in the life of Jesus Christ? What does that look like? And what does that mean to me? What does that mean for me? What can I learn through the power of observation as a student of the Master? Well, before us, and what I just read for us a few moments ago, is a 24-hour cycle, a complete day in the life of Jesus. You know, often we look in Scripture and we get these snapshots. This activity happened, Jesus said this, he did this, and they're snapshots. Now we stitch those snapshots together and we get a pretty good picture of who Christ is. But as we drop into this text, it's real helpful for us. It gives us a complete 24-hour cycle in the life of Christ. It reveals the heart of God. And in revealing the heart of God, it challenges my heart about the things of God. And where is my heart for God? And for every one of us, where is our heart for God at this moment and in the movements ahead. Well, the next 24 hours as we start off this morning are busy. They are busy. They are so full of activity. We may get a little tired and need to take a little break as we walk through these. And yet they are typical for Jesus. This is who he is. And we're going to put up a slide in just a moment. You might want to write this down, jot this down. This statement, Jesus' actions reflect his identity. You want to know about the identity of Christ, who he is? Anybody out there in the world, and it's a pretty good question for us all to wrestle with, well, check out his actions. Look at his actions. His actions reflect his identity, and at the same time, his identity is revealed in his actions. There's kind of two ways to look at it from two vantage points. This is who he is. We're going to see the major activities of Christ as we work our way through this 24-hour section of time. And the one truth for today that we want that stitches this all together is we learn, as we observe Christ, that Christ wastes no messages, he misses no man, he invests every moment into that which is eternal, and he calls me in this to seize my today as his day. To seize my day as his day. One of the things we're going to learn, you know, we just had an offering a few minutes ago, and we shared, you know, it all belongs to Jesus. All our finances belong to Jesus. Another application in this, all our time belongs to Christ. All of our experiences, our breath, belong to the one who gives us this breath. We see Jesus wastes no messages. He misses no man, which is encouraging to me. He invests continuously every moment into the eternal, and he calls me to seize my day for him. Not just today, but my Tuesday belongs to Jesus. My Thursday belongs to Jesus. And every day, every breath I have is an investment by him through me for eternity. Well, we'll leave that up there for a moment. You can write that down. We're not going to have very many slides up here this morning. But as we look our way and try and understand this text, a couple things jump out at us. Time, typical, what is typical activity? And then we're going to look at the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll close it all with some thoughts and some applications. But you look in your text, just real quickly, we think of time. This is a 24-hour period in the life of Christ. Verse 31, he came into Capernaum, and he begins teaching in the synagogue. This usually started off towards the beginning of the day. So he is there in the synagogue teaching at the start of the day. We drop into about verse 38. He got up and he left the synagogue. He entered Simon's home. So the synagogue teaching is over. We're probably about midday, mid-afternoon. They're going there to meet, to have fellowship. This is going to turn out to be the headquarters for Christ during his earthly ministry. They're there for a while. In verse 40, we see the sun was setting, which means what time is coming? Evening. The day is winding down. It will be full of activity. And then we see as we move into verse 43 and verse 44, he kept on doing what he was doing. The cycle continues day in and day out. So we have the time factor. But what was he doing? What was typical? What were the typical activities of Christ? Well, we see him in this passage in verse 31 again. Jesus was teaching. We drop down into the encounter with the demonized man. He commands him to come out of him, verse 35. And then About verse 40 on, and even with Peter's wife, there is a healing ministry of Christ. So what were the three typical activities of Christ? Teaching, exercising, and healing. Teaching. And here we find him teaching in the synagogue. At times we'll find him teaching by the lake. At times we'll find him teaching one-on-one with individuals. Teaching eternal truth. Unveiling the truth of God. That really is what the primary thing is, what draws us here on Sunday morning to see the truth of God unveiled in teaching. So there's this teaching aspect to Christ's ministry, a priority. Also, we see the exercising. Now, we're not talking Pilates or yoga here. It's not exercising, it's exorcising, the casting out of demons. And we have that in this occasion with this one particular man, and then at the end of the day, we'll find it happening again. And what is that all about? Well, remember, actions reflect identity. Identity revealed in actions. Jesus Christ is verifying, broadcasting who he is. He's demonstrating, proving who he is. He's God the Son. He's all powerful. He's displaying the authoritative power of God, proving his identity, his authority over Satan, his authority over sicknesses. And what does that logically bring us to? The one who has authority over Satan, the one who has authority over sicknesses, is the one who has authority over sin, and he's the solution to my sin problem. He's my Savior. Teaching, exercising. Then as we move into the latter parts of the day, the healing aspect. And you think about that. What is that all about? Again, actions reflecting identity. It reveals, it communicates the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. The love and compassion of God. You know, God is often blamed for being destructive, vindictive, judgmental, and just this person that loves to make you feel bad. Check out the truth. It's the satanic world that violates an individual, that victimizes an individual, that leaves them writhing on the ground, helpless and in despair. Jesus Christ is the one who reaches into a life. And he'll reach into my life and he'll reach into your life. And he'll make an eternal difference for the good. He is a kind, loving, compassionate God. Never sacrificing truth. Never sacrificing his authority. But demonstrating his love, his grace, his mercy. What was Jesus all about? Teaching. Exercising, healing. Well, we have at least three incidents in this particular portion of Scripture where his identity becomes pretty clear in regards to a man, a mom, and a bunch of miserable people. The man, the mom, the miserable, all experience the love, the compassion, the truth, and the authority of Jesus Christ. Jump in with me at verse 31. We won't digest either of these three incidents in great detail, but let's look at them a little bit to kind of set us up for some application at the end. Jesus came down to Capernaum. You know, we could kind of skip through that real quick. Don't see anything extraordinary there, maybe in that first sentence, except he came down to Capernaum. Where had he been? Nazareth. Where was Nazareth? Well, Nazareth was about 1,300 feet above sea level. And we're going to end up in a place called Capernaum. Capernaum was 700, technically 695 feet below sea level. Do you see the difference? Nazareth up here, Capernaum down here. And if you're going to go from this place to this place, what direction are you going to go? Yeah, what did the scriptures tell us? He went down. You know, God's okay with the details. God doesn't have a problem with facts. He doesn't have a problem with getting things right because he is eternal truth, complete truth. And that's just kind of a little freebie on how much we can trust God. We can trust God to be God. He has no problems with the facts. He's not afraid of questions. We have a lot of questions in here, and he has the answers. And as he casts this demon out, he just reminds us that he is up to any challenge that we can throw at him, or that the world can throw at him. There's a tremendous contrast between the actions of the demon and the actions of Jesus Christ. Action matches identity. The one is out to destroy, to discourage, to hinder, and Jesus Christ is just the opposite. Reaches down into his life, and with authority speaks truth and liberating truth into his life. And it makes all the difference in the world. Jesus is all about truth. He's all about power and authority over every aspect of creation, the natural world and the supernatural world. Now we come to a missing mom in verse 38. They got up, left the synagogue, and entered Simon Peter's home. They are transitioning to this becoming the headquarters, the kind of the focal point of Christ, and you will see this home and this city become central in the life and ministry of Christ over the next 3 years. So they're going home to enjoy some fellowship, probably enjoy some food. Problem is, Peter's mom is suffering. And Luke tells us, Dr. Luke, the physician, tells us it's a high fever. And you check this out. This is like no ordinary sickness. This is no ordinary sniffles. This is likely a life-threatening issue that is going on with her. And we see Christ in compassion, completely healing her and making a difference in her life. Because that's what Christ does. We're just in the early stages of the day, and notice how active he is. And notice the completeness of her recovery. And he rebuked the fever, it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them. No lingering effects. Moving from a very serious illness to being able to be active in the rest of the life instantaneously. That is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his authority. His authority over the satanic world, the supernatural world, his authority over natural sicknesses, every sickness. And then we move into verse 40. Care and compassion. The healing ministry of Christ. While the sun was setting, all those who were sick with various diseases were brought to Christ. He laid hands on them. He was healing them. Included natural diseases, also included the supernatural challenges. Demons were coming out of many. And again, Christ would not allow that mocking broadcasting of his identity. He doesn't need help from the demonic world to explain who he is and what he is about. He would not allow any of them to speak. When the day came, he left and went off into a secluded place, and you read some of the other gospels, to pray. And you know, what was the response of the people there? Please don't leave. I mean, and that would be my response, right? Please don't leave. I mean, we've got a good thing going here when Christ is in the neighborhood. But we see a little bit about the complete picture of Christ. He's concerned about us, and no one falls out of his notice. But his eyes are so big, his heart is so big that he sees others as well. I must preach the kingdom to other cities as well. So the truth that we can experience in Christ is a truth that we can experience in Christ. It's a truth that can be and needs to be shared with others as well. Teaching, exercising, healing. It has been a full and a stunning 24 hours. And there's a sense for us as followers of Christ to read this and see the victories and the successes, to be encouraged and to identify with that team. It is stunning, it is satisfying, and yet it is simply routine for God. Routine for God, whose character screams truth, whose character screams power, whose character screams compassion. This is who the God of the Bible is. Isn't that awesome? This is who my Savior is. Truth, power, compassion. His actions reflect his identity, and his identity reflect his actions. And here we find hope, and here we are also challenged in how we will respond. God wastes nothing, he misses no one. And my natural response as I see Christ is to understand how my day is to play into his day, and how my day is part of his day. And my opportunity and responsibility to seize my day as his day. I'd like to share with you three thoughts this morning about how to view our day as his day, as how to honor the life God gives us with a life that reflects God's investment in our life. Three thoughts propel us into the week ahead with some purpose and a bit of a plan. Number one, two, and three, we're going to talk about the past, the present, and guess what? The future. Let's look at the past. Thought number one. You might want to jot this down. The past is a poor place to live. Don't let yesterday consume you today. We all face a dangerous temptation. Coast on your successes. We all face a dangerous temptation. Be consumed with failures. Coast on past successes. Conclude that we are under some ongoing, continual curse because of some failure. A failure we have done, a failure that others have dumped on us. There is a verse in Romans that really articulates the heartbeat of God, and it's not in my notes, but we are more than conquerors. Translated out the fullest, we are super conquerors through him who loves us. Whatever the past is, it does not have to be the present or the future. The past is a poor place to live. Don't let yesterday consume you today. if we, any one of us, get hung up on a past hurt, a past disappointment, if we become obsessed with the good old days to a point as if good days can never be witnessed again in the present, in the now, then we are going to find ourselves stuck in a swamp, a satanic swamp that will consume us, suck us down, and suck us in, and we will miss the joy of the Lord. So maybe it's time to leave the swamp. The swamp of yesterday's regrets. Maybe it's time to avoid the swamps of tomorrow's worries. What might happen? What could happen? It's time to leave the swamp. And the way to leave the swamp is to grab hold of the rope. Grab hold of the Jesus rope, the resurrecting power of the swamp master. And hold on and let him pull you out. And you know what happens when we even make the effort to hold on? He holds on to us. Maybe for some of us, the first grasp this morning is to reach out and be grasped by Jesus Christ as our Savior for the first time. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Pass from death to life. And it's got to start, and it can't start, and it starts right here by coming to that empty cross. Jesus paid it all. And all we can do is throw ourselves at his feet and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And guess what he does? He does what he promises to do because he's eternal truth. He takes over. And he moves us from eternal death to eternal life. We need to confess. It means agree. Jesus Christ is my sin solution. And he's my Savior. And for some of us, that's the first step today. Reach out. Embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior. For some of us, and for all of us as Christ followers, a rope we need to reach out and grasp every day is found in 1 John 1:9. This is a verse written to believers. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has a wonderful remedy for our sins. It's Jesus. His sacrifice took care of our sin. His blood washes our sin away. We can be eternally clean, and as Christ followers, we are called to come and get every day clean. Maybe there's, and likely for all of us, every day, there's the need to reach out and grasp that cleansing power of Christ by confessing our sin, by forsaking them, and moving forward. Living the past is a poor place to live. So maybe we need to grab that one rope in Romans 10. Maybe we need to grab the one rope in 1 John 1. All of us need to grab a rope. It's in Philippians 3. And I encourage you to go there with me. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3:13. The Apostle Paul tells us this. Jump right in the middle of the verse. Forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Learn from the past, but don't be chained by the past. Don't live in the past. Forgetting what is in the past, I reach forward for what lies ahead. How do we do that? One day, one moment at a time. Reminds us that every day is a fresh start with God. Today you've got a fresh start with God. We all have mistakes. We all have failures. We all have hurts in the past. Today is a fresh day, a fresh start. Under the grace, the mercy, and the love of Christ. It is also a reminder that whatever we're going to do for Christ, and whatever we're going to become for Christ, today's the day to start. We've got to start somewhere, so start today. Start doing what God has called you to do. Start becoming what God has called you to be. So don't let the chains of the past hold you down. The past is a poor place to live. Don't let yesterday consume you today. Well, let's look at the present and come with me to Psalm 118. Same psalm that we started off this morning. We're going to go to the end of it. Psalm 118, verse 24. Let's look at the present. Be present in the present, or today is a present. Do y'all like presents? Yeah, not too many people don't like presents. Guess what? Take that breath in. That was a present. It was a gift. A gift from God. Today is a present. It's a gift from God. It calls me, it calls you, it calls us to be present in the present. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us be mad in it. Let us be sad in it. Is that what it says? Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Why? God's on the throne. God is superintending over everything. This is the day the Lord has made. Today is a present, a gift from God. He has fashioned us for this gift. He has fashioned us for this moment of now with an eternal agenda. We think we're here by accident. A lot of people running around the world, I'm just an accident. I'm here by accident. There are no accidents in God's agenda. That gives every breath we take a sense of dignity. It gives us a sense of delight. If you came in here discouraged this morning, which circumstances can do that. But here's what generates a smile. God's on the throne. God's at work. God will have the final say, as we see in his activities. That gives us dignity, delight. It gives us some direction. This is the day the Lord hath made, so I can do whatever I want. Not how the verse goes. God made the day for a reason, for a purpose. He made our lives for a reason, for a purpose. He has something for us to do. He has something for us to become. And regardless of how old you are today or how young you are today, we are still here. There's still something for us to be doing. There's still something for us to be becoming. It's a great adventure. But you know what? This may be it. This may be the last day. Now we think, yeah, that's true for everybody else. But for me, I've got a calendar. I filled it out for the rest of the year. I've got an agenda. And there's a place for that, right? For making plans, If you aim at nothing, you're guaranteed you're going to hit it. But in all this, in living in the present, we understand there may not be much of a tomorrow. And so I better take advantages of the opportunities that I have today and the responsibilities that I have today. I better make it count for Jesus. Again, whatever we're going to do and whatever we're going to become, better do it today. Have you ever said this? Have you ever sounded like me? You know, I'm going to do this when that happens. I'm going to do this when that happens. What if that never happens? It can become an excuse. It can become a crutch. What does God want us to do? I encourage you throughout the week ahead. Here's a way to put this teaching in practice this week. Just think of your identity. Who are you? You know, I could say, I'm a father, I'm a husband, parent, father-in-law, a neighbor, a church member, pastor. You might be a plumber, put that in there. Just list all those things that you are. And then think about, what might God want me to do with that particular one today? Or what can I do to honor God through my identity? Now, we could have a really long list, and we could spend our lives making a list and never doing anything, right? That's not the idea. But we write some stuff down. It gels our thinking, maybe focuses our activity a little more. What would God have me to do in the present that would honor him, that would glorify him? God has something for all of us to do. And God has something for all of us to greater become in our relationship with him. So past is a poor place to live. Don't let it chain you down. The present, it's a gift from God, so be present and be active. What about the future? John chapter 9, verse 4. A couple more words of Jesus as we finish up. Jesus doing his Jesus thing, teaching, healing, demonstrating his authority, doing some miracle working here. And in verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. We're thinking about this 24-hour period of Christ, his activities. And in these words, he's reminding us that life will not always be as it is at that moment. And the time to do the work of God is now. And the time for us to do the work of God is now. And we understand there is a process, but there is a present. So as we think about tomorrow, A.W. Tozer has written a lot, a number of books, and in some of his books, he writes about the long tomorrow. The long tomorrow. He's talking about eternity. And we don't want yesterday to consume us. We want to be present in the present, and we want to think about the long tomorrow. There is a place for that. We need to think about eternity. as I think about eternity and my relationship with God and the fact that today will end, it helps me grasp the value of today. We are going to run out of time to make a difference, to influence, to invest, to be involved. We only have a small window of time called life. And compared to eternity, it's pretty small. But what we have, we do have. And what we do have, we can invest. And we can give back to God. And we can make a difference. We can become who God calls us to become. And we can do what God calls us to do. Christ never wasted a moment. He never wasted a message. He reminds me to buy up every opportunity that I have to sit at the feet of Christ. Buy up every opportunity I have to make a difference. You know, sometimes as I'm coming in and doing my work, it's like, Lord, just use me today. Use me to be a difference in people's lives. And then people show up in my life, and it's like, oh, man, they're really annoying. And it's like, oh, that's what it's all about, right? That interruption is a divine appointment. A wonderful opportunity to be the hands and the feet of Jesus and to experience the hands and feet of Jesus in my own life, in our own life. We only have a small window. Use it. Enjoy it. Invest it. Jesus' actions reflect his identity. His identity is revealed in his actions. We see his heart, and here we find our hope, and here we find our challenge. Our challenge to seize our day as his day. It means it calls us to surrender that day to Christ. Then it also calls us to offer and to give that day as a sacrifice to Christ. Maybe a good way to start the day is surrendering the day to Jesus. And maybe a good way to end the day is to reflect back on the sacrifice. Is it inadequate based on the sacrifice of Christ in our life? Yeah. But celebrate the victories. Celebrate the success. Find the strength in him. We're not chained to the past. We're not inactive in the present. We have hope for the future when we are chained to the love, the grace, and the mercy of Jesus Christ. I invite you to join me in prayer. We just let the Spirit of God speak to you this morning. There are multiple applications for every one of us in this text this morning. Lord, what would you have me to grasp, to focus on? Where do I need your strength? Where do I need greater energy expressed in my love for you? Let me just ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there come a time where you've accepted, received that free gift of salvation? Here's a moment you can do that. There's sin in our life that we need to confess and forsake. And then move forward for Christ. Father, we thank you for the complete work the complete victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over sin, over death, over the past, over the present, and over the future. We can be conquerors, but it has to be through you. And it's not that we're spotlighting ourselves. We are simply living in your shadows. May we live in your shadows in a greater way this week. You have a work for all of us to do. May we faithfully do it and give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.